the word that you have deposited into Walton. I pray, Father God, that you would help him to deliver the word in the way that is beneficial for you and to the glory for your kingdom, Father. I pray that you would, even if I see notes here in front of me, even if he needs to discard his notes, that he'll be obedient. Lord, stop him from saying what is flesh and help him to speak. And Lord, even if he does speak what is not from you, help us to filter and only allow the things that are from you. Father, we want this to be a godly moment. It's not just words from a man, but we want you to do something in us right now, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amazing. Thank you, Andre. I'm actually trembling just because, and not because I'm on my nerves or whatever, but just I think this is such a topic that I want to speak about this morning that is really beneficial and will continue the continuation of the gospel, you know. And the topic is discipleship. You know, the church has been growing because of discipleship, because older men or people that have been saved has invested in younger guys for the continuation of the gospel and the church. And I'm really trusting this morning that even here in Malmesbury, that what God is doing in us and that what God is doing in us wouldn't stop with us. Amen. But it will go further into this town, into where God has called us to, maybe Mauriesburg or all the other areas, you know, but that discipleship would continue. And the method has always been discipleship. Amen. So this morning, I kind of want to try and lay down a foundation for us. So I'm going to preach in English. Just because we have a few English-speaking people here this morning, not just them, but there's a lady that recently moved to Malmesbury from the KZN at the back. So yeah, so if you're not understanding anything, come to my house afterwards and I'll preach it to you in Afrikaans as well. can you put up that first picture of that guy? So I want to tell a story. Whom of you have heard of this guy, Polycarp? Anyone? I know Johanre would have, and some of the other guys, and Driki. And this guy was born 1969 after Christ, and he died 156 after Christ, obviously. And I wanted to say something now about him, but I want to tell a story about Polycarp this morning, about his discipleship journey and how he was discipled by the Apostle John, and just what was the fruit of that, and I think I'm going to blow your minds quickly, but you need to remember it for later. Polycarp's name means much fruit or being fruitful. So just remember that name as we are going on. So imagine yourself this young guy growing up in Minor Asia, and Jerusalem is just destroyed. Nothing's going on there. And the Apostle John, there's maybe one of the followers of Jesus left, the original followers, the Apostle John, and he's at a old age. He's quite old age. And there's a young man, boy, Polycarp. And Polycarp, I actually want to say this. His name in Afrikaans is Polycarpus. Next to the metaphysi, maar Polycarpus. But Polycarp decided to devote his life to sitting under the teaching of John the Apostle. And he didn't just sit under his teachings, but he actually looked at the way that the Apostle John lived, you know. He listened to all the stories that John was telling, because you can imagine that as these disciples are walking with Jesus, there's lots of stories, you know, like the one where the one disciple outran the other one. I can imagine Polycarp probably asking, listen, what happened there? You know, like why is that there? You know, so like there's been stories that's been told in this discipleship relationship. And he heard firsthand the wonder works, the miracles of Jesus, and the miracles, you know, the wonder works. he heard the what do you call it, when you're going through something like the not to put like if you like he first and the endurance he saw the endurance of Jesus, you know, through John. He heard of the suffering of John. And also later, one of Polycarp's disciples, Irenaeus, I hope I'm saying it right, Irenaeus actually said that Polycarp usually told him about just how his relationship with John and the others, like he usually spoke about this. You know, this was like a, you know, so it's almost like this guy really lived with John. Yeah. And John didn't just teach Polycarp or tell him what to do, but he showed him how to live. If you go and you actually go and read up on Polycarp's life and what people say about him, they say like he loved like John loved. He lived like John loved, you know. And so much so that the letters that Polycarp wrote to some of the churches was drenched with the message of the apostles. You know, it wasn't his own new thing. It was drenched with actually. So if you look at the letters of Polycarp and you look at the letters, like it's one and the same. Maybe a different word, but it's one and the same. So really, like Polycarp was, what do you call it? Like he became like these guys, you know, like just the message. Like he became the message. He learned humility because he saw it. He learned endurance because he saw that the guys that was following Christ endured until the very end. He learned how to look after God's sheep with a soft heart because he saw how the apostles looked after the sheep with a soft heart. Then the years went by. The disciple became a pastor. He was the bishop of the church in Smyrna in the book of Revelation. And for decades long, he discipled other guys. And one of those disciples, as I said earlier, was Irenaeus. I hope I'm saying it right. And actually, he became later one of the big defenders of the Christian faith in that time. You know? Yeah. But then the big test came. Polycarp was about 86 or 84. It's like those two ages are what he speculated. And they brought him before the Roman Empire and forced him to deny Jesus Christ. And just listen to what he says here. He says, "For 86 years I served Christ Jesus. He hasn't done me anything wrong. How can I then now deny my Lord and Savior?" And this was, yes, I remember I was crying when I read this. So he got burned for his faith. They set him alight. And people around him said that it smelled like fresh baked bread when they were burning him. You know, and who's the bread of life? Jesus is the bread of life. You know, it's like, imagine, I don't know how, but it smelled like, and then another person said that it looked like metal that was formed in the fire when it was burned. So Polycarp ended his life as a glorious martyr for Jesus Christ. And that endurance and courage wasn't born in a moment. It was born through lifelong walking with Apostle John, learning from them. It started when he sat at the feet of an old guy, and now he's an old guy. Discipleship. Oh, my notes just jumped to the bottom. Discipleship formed where he ended up. And this is why discipleship is so important. I actually feel like we can just end it there, but and basically, like, discipleship is not only to carry over knowledge, but it's actually to show people how to live like Christ. There will be times where you will, but Can we put up that first scripture, Matthew 28? Sorry, we can go back to that now. I think that's very cool. Matthew 28 from verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and said to them," his disciples, "all authority in heaven has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." The gospel message continued because of discipleship relationships. So now you can put up that awesome graphic that AI made for me. ChatGPT. I was like, yes, this is a flipping good thing. I was so impressed with ChatGPT. So this is the Greek word for disciple, and it's matateias. Everyone say matateias. I watched the YouTube video on how to say it. So I was practicing the whole week. Matateias, matateias, matateias. So matateias, it's the Greek word. And it basically means to learn, to understand through instruction, to acquire knowledge through experience. Then the second one there, the literal meaning is a learner, a student, apprentice. We all know the word appy, eh? Like when you have an appy. That is the original, like where it comes from. Appy, apprentice, one who follows a teacher to become like the teacher. And a biblical use over 269 times. It appears in the New Testament, primarily in the Gospels and in Acts, and it refers to the followers of Jesus Christ. And it's more than intellectual learning. It involves transformation, obedience, and imitation. And then there's some key scriptures about it. And this very thing is actually like I actually wish they made it like a circle. Because we are being taught by Jesus. We hear and we understand through his word. We choose to follow what he says. We obey what he says. We're becoming like Christ. We're being transformed. And then we make other disciples. And then the process starts again. You know, so it's and that's the thing, like it's basically you are duplicating who you are. Someone asked me long time ago, how would the church look if it was only versions of you? I was like, I don't want that. But then I thought about it. Actually, the church should look quite cool if it was just me, you know, because I've given myself to all of this stuff, you know. So, and then the last part, yes, now the words are here, but it says a disciple is not merely someone who learns information about Jesus, but one who follows Jesus in order to be transformed into his likeness and reproduce his life in others. And this is what all the apostles did. This is what Polycarp did. And just on that one thing, thank you, Lane, you can on my afval. Just one thing that I've learned this past few years in my relationship with God, that it's not about what I know, but is what I know transforming me to be more like Jesus. And God has given us a model to be more like Jesus. There's lots of stuff. We spoke about, we sang now about giving our lives, you know, that is a model to becoming, but also then God has given us this model of discipleship. Living and being in one another's house, teaching one another to be more like Jesus. And to be a disciple of Jesus means that you are learning from Jesus. He's teaching you some stuff and you are learning, but then also there's the other part that is, it's like, I see discipleship is like two people holding you. The one is Jesus, and then the other is a person in your congregation helping you. That for me is discipleship. You know, Jesus, and Jesus chooses to use us. Jesus could have just done it by himself because he already does such a good job by doing it. And just to refer back to the story of Polycarp, it's so beautiful for me that Polycarp learned suffering. He learned that he is going to suffer, and he learned how to respond in suffering because he saw it. I think Polycarp knew that Jesus said, listen, you're going to suffer for me one day, or you're going to suffer for me, but he saw it physically in the Apostle John's suffering. So he learned that. And just lately, man, there is just such a diluted version of Christianity. that is just, man, I don't know. It's like, it's cheap, you know. It's so cheap, you know. Like, it's void. It's void of discipleship relationships. It's me and God. We're gonna go for it. Just me and Jesus. But Jesus chooses to use the church, one another. It's not through you that the glory of God, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known. It's through the church. It's through the discipleship relationship. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, can you put on John 1 John 2, verse 27? And to defend this, to defend that we don't need anyone else, we'll quote scriptures like this. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. So now, is John then going directly against what Jesus said? Because Jesus said, we need to go and make disciples, teaching them. So no, that is not what John. John is not saying that you don't need anybody else to teach you. What John is actually saying is that he's pointing us back to the great teacher, who is Jesus. So we don't need anyone else. But then, complementary to that is a discipleship relationship. You know, God has given the Ephesians 4:12 with teachers. God has given pastors to teach, you know. So it's not like John is going against that. And it says his anointing teaches you, you know. And also, like, we are going to teach one another. Like, that is inevitable. That is not what John is saying here. So sometimes we would use scriptures like this to not want to walk in a discipleship relationship. We learn by seeing what we do in the Lord. Monkey see, monkey do. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So there is a speculation that Polycarp's disciple died the same way that he died. So it's like Polycarp, and I don't think Polycarp went to the empire and said, listen, set me on fire, set me on, no. I think he lived a godly life. He preached the gospel, and just by doing that, he died in that way. I just want to drink some water. Thank you. And we see the same happening with Paul and Timothy. Paul was in jail. Timothy was also in jail later. If you look at Hebrews 13, verse 24. Can you put on that one, Elaine? Hebrews 13, verse 24. Sorry, the Afrikaans is 24. The English is 23. My bad, sorry. 23, Hebrews 13, 23. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released from what? Jail. You know, so he also was, so it's almost like he followed his disciple Paul into that way, you know. So it's, as we are imitating, like, we probably going to end up as ones we follow. So what are you following? I love how Hebrews 13 says, like, look at their lives. Look at the outcome of their lives and imitate it. And I'm so thankful for Johanre, because we give ourselves for discipleship relationships. Relationship. Every second Wednesday, we speak into one another's lives. You know, and this week he actually spoke into my life. And I'm like, I'm definitely going to do that. You know, and it's not because he's the church leader, but because I know that he follows God. And if I follow him, there's a stronger chance that I will also get to God, you know, than not, you know. So, and maybe just look around you quickly. Just take a look around you quickly. Who do you want to, in this congregation, give yourself to for the discipleship relationship? Maybe close your eyes and ask God, God, who do you want me to give myself to in a discipleship relationship? And then when God has spoken, respond to it. Go and speak to that person. I want to end off with the following. As I've said in the beginning, that we all are firstly disciples of Jesus. And then secondly, we get discipled by someone else. We live in a discipleship relationship with someone else. In your discipleship, in Jesus discipling you, you will see that there will come a thing of, oh, Lord, I want to be like you. And then you go and look for someone and say, listen, can you please help me to be more like Jesus? And I've shown you one of the examples in the New Testament where that happened. Like Andre said, like we want to build New Testament church. And one of the building blocks is discipleship. We looked at the life of Polycarp. And can you agree with me that he lived up to his name? He was very fruitful. Much fruit, you know. He lived up to his name. John invested in Polycarp. Polycarp invested in Irenaeus. Irenaeus invested in the generation that was after him. Who is investing in you? And in you, and in who are you going to invest? Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful model and gift that you have given us to become more like you. That you've given us discipleship relationships to become more like you, Father. And Lord, we don't want what you do in us to stop with us, Father. But this should go further than us, God. 20 years from now, God, this should go further than us, Lord Jesus. And even as I was preparing for this in the week, I felt that there's a, maybe Penny, if you can, where's Penny, or someone on the piano. Anyone, yeah, on the piano can. Yeah, I think, well, you can come up. Yeah, oh, yes, Penny, yeah. I think there's two groups this morning. And the one group is that you feel that you cannot disciple someone. And you have your reasons. I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but you have your reasons. You know why you feel like that. And this morning, God is saying to you in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power. Yoandre preached about his immeasurable power the other day. His immeasurable power has granted to you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called you to his own glory and excellence. So if you feel like you can't disciple someone, remind yourself that God has given you everything that you need to do this. And then the second group is maybe people that has not given or is not given themselves for this discipleship relationship. Maybe you have in the past and some stuff happened and you're just like, ah, this is not for me anymore. But I can promise you this morning that as you're going to give yourself for this relationship, much fruit will come in your life. Jesus said that if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And maybe you are abiding in him, but the fruit is not coming. Maybe because you're not walking in a discipleship relationship with someone. And it's God's desire for you to be fruitful. And he's given this discipleship relationship model for us.
So, Wally really did a great job in explaining discipleship, but I just felt like there's maybe another group sitting here, separate to the two groups. And we have said in this congregation that if we want to be like those people, we need to do what they did. So if you want to be faithful to the end and endure to the end the way that Jesus asked us, then we need to imitate and do what they did, what a guy like Polycarp did, how he was a disciple. We need to. Discipleship is one of the New Testament foundations or building blocks. But there's often people, if you may be in that position where you feel like, I can't give myself to discipleship, it's often because people that discipled you made a mess of it, or hurt you, or did it in a way that it wasn't supposed to be. And so it's easy to shut off and say, I'm not doing that again. That's our normal human reaction, is we won't do it because I've been there, done there, got burnt, not doing that again. But I do want to clarify just two scriptures that Wally shared. It might seem like a contradiction. Can you put up that first one in 1 John, where it says, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Okay, so that's the one scripture. The other one is Matthew 28, go and make disciples, but also the, which one is it? Yeah, I also think one in, oh no, this one. Remember your leaders, those who speak to you, consider the outcome and imitate their faith. So now we have two scriptures. The one says, doesn't need that anyone, there's no need for anyone to teach you. And this scripture says, imitate their faith. So is the Bible contradicting itself? No. Here's the thing. Here's the safeguard that is built into this whole discipleship thing. Because people can lead you astray. But the scripture in 1 John says, you have no need. And why don't we have any need for people to teach us? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And so the Holy Spirit is our safeguard against people leading us astray. Because if I disciple Wally, and he's following me, and now all of a sudden I'm starting to teach him all wacko stuff, his spirit will go and say, hey, that's not right. So I just wanted to clarify that. We don't have to fear giving ourselves to people, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the thing is, someone once said, I listened to a message where it says, context was Matthew 18. Is it Matthew 18? On now how to handle offenses. It's not who's right, it's about what's right. And so discipleship is also the process. If I'm discipling him and I go all wacko and he sees it, then he has the opportunity to help me. And so that's what discipleship is. And that's why discipleship is important. And that's why Christianity is not following a book. It is following examples of people's lives. And so it goes both ways. That's why we need discipleship. He needs to learn from someone that is just a little bit further down the road, who have walked the stuff, who have done the stuff, have responded. And the way you choose a discipleship, someone that you want to follow, is you choose someone that is worthy to imitate. You don't just choose Lane because I like his style. You consider his life. It says, consider your leaders. Imitate their faith. Consider his life. Like, man, I want to be a guy like Lane, for instance. Or I want to be a parent like Wayne. Or I want to be this person or that person. And you follow that. But knowing that you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the moment I see Wayne maybe going down the wrong path, I have the opportunity to say, hey, Wayne, I respect you. So that's why discipleship is important. Does it make sense? It goes both ways. It's actually, discipleship is not a is not a dangerous thing. It's actually there to safeguard us. Over the centuries, people have read... Where's my Bible? Over the centuries, people have read this manual and made a mess of it. The application of it. And I can point you to certain groups. So it's not about following the book. The book is the thing. It's like it's the main thing. But it's creating a, what do I call it? I don't want to call it a system or creating a thing that helps us to not go all weird and wacko. Does it make sense? Okay.
Yeah. On that, I want to pray this morning just for people that is not feeling that they want to give themselves for discipleship relationship. I remember many years ago I was there. Not because I've been hurt before, but because there was stuff in my life that I didn't want other people to see. And maybe there is stuff that you don't want other people to see, but I can promise you, as you're going to let the light in, as you're going to open up, freedom will come. Light will come. So Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you disciple us firstly. But then, God, you give us examples, Father. Lord, I want to pray for someone or for people that's feeling that they don't want to give themselves for discipleship relationships. I want to pray firstly for faith to come into their hearts in the name of Jesus. And then, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help them to respond. Maybe even just starting a conversation, that you would help them, Lord Jesus. And Father, I want to pray for the people that need to disciple others. Pray that they will step up this morning in the name of Jesus. Pray for faith to come into their hearts as well, God. That yes, that they are living lives that is worthy of imitation. And that they will bring others into that, Lord. One of the other elders in Josh Jen, in Swellendam, Charles, he said, discipleship is basically making someone a part of your relationship with God. So let's make one another part of our relationship with God. Let's be polycarps. Thank you for this morning, God, for your word, for the models that you have given us to follow, Father. I pray that you'll give us the endurance and the faith to do this until the very end, Father. Lord, we want to say as a congregation that even if discipleship kills us, we will do it until the very end, God. For this is the way. This is the way, God. As we sang this morning, you are the treasure in the field. You are the treasure, God. And one of the ways is discipleship. So come and help us, Lord. We worship you, Jesus.